Have you ever wrestled with doubt? Maybe doubts about yourself, about other people, about opportunities, maybe about your faith. Have you ever had or experienced that moment where for a second you get a thought of just say it's not true? You try to imagine God's existence, feel God's reality, but you draw a blank. I know I've experienced this. That split second of uncertainty. And it's such a sensitive topic or reality that I sometimes don't even want to admit this to myself. But here's the good news. God doesn't cease to exist in these moments. And he does not keep himself away from us when we find ourselves in a place of doubt. This is what we discover in an encounter between the disciples and the risen Christ. And in this encounter with Jesus, their doubt becomes the door to a deeper faith. Let's read together. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And then he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." And when he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. Jesus asks, "Why are you upset, and why do doubts arise in your heart?" And I pray today that his question will also open a door to a deeper faith for you. For those of us who are facing doubts today, or you have already doubted. As I lived with this question and this passage, three invitations became clearer to me. The first thing that became clear to me is that doubt is part of our human existence. From the time of Adam and Eve, mankind wrestled with doubt. Do you remember how they doubted in the garden? Did God really say that? Are we really not allowed to eat from that tree? From that moment on, doubt was woven into humanity. And it's a difficult thing at times. Because doubt enters into our lives through different doors. We experience it in different ways. I think about close relationships. Does my partner really love me? Do I really love them? I think of parents who long to have a child. They pray, they're desperate, and then it doesn't happen. What's wrong with us? I think of people I know between the age of 30 and 40 who've been longing for a relationship with someone to share their life with. Their life is so lonely. They feel God has forgotten them. The questions that must arise within them. I think of parents who lose a child to death. Where is God in this? What happens to us when we live with these realities and these questions? What happens to us when we live with doubting questions in our faith, like, does God really care? Where is he? Has he forgotten or abandoned me? It definitely brings disorientation, uncertainty, and pain. But what do we do when they come across our path? Well, I want to take you back to that encounter. Did you notice? Did you notice what the disciples did? They didn't hide it. They don't sweep their doubts under the rag. They don't pretend to have the world's faith in that moment when they realize Jesus is here. No, they show and they share their fears and their doubts. They do this within that community of faith. In that community where they are feeling safe with each other, or vulnerable rather with each other, they are honest about where they are. And I pray that we can be a community of faith like that for each other. Where we are open and honest about our doubts. That we can be and have a place where we can acknowledge what is within us. That we can go to that sensitive place, that split second moment. Where we can have a place where we can say to one another, don't let your doubts keep you from coming to worship. Don't let your doubts isolate you. Come with them, acknowledge them, share them. The second invitation comes when the disciples realize that Jesus is standing in their midst, and see what his first words are. Peace. Peace be with you. Jesus is giving a word of peace, not a condemnation. Listen, it's not a sin. Doubt is not a sin. Jesus reminds us that God meets us in the midst of and in spite of our doubts. And it's always with a word of peace. Peace be with you. But Jesus does something else. He says to them, look at my hands and my feet. It is I. Look, touch, see. Look at me. Now, Jesus isn't physically with us like he was with the disciples, not in the same way, but at this very moment, Jesus also wants to help us with our doubts. And he also asks us to look and see. You see, to look is a great practice in the Christian faith. It's such an important word in scripture. More than 1,300 times in the Bible, this word appears. It's the first word that God says to Adam and Eve. It's the word that the angels say to the shepherds when they announce Jesus' birth. When Jesus comes to the end of his ministry, he uses it and he says, look, I will be with you until the end of days. It appears again and again and again. And it's interesting, many modern translations don't use, they let it out, that word. But it is so important. Now we have three sets of eyes with which we can look and see. Our physical eyes, when we look at what is visible. We look with the eyes of the mind when we try to understand and seek insight. And I think the most important thing, way of seeing is when we look with the eyes of our heart. And so if Jesus invites us to look and see, what am I looking for? Well, have you looked at the wonder of your existence? It's hard to look at your existence and think, what an incredible mistake. to begin with. For you to be here now, trillions of floating atoms had to somehow come together in a complicated fashion to make you you. And for the next few years, many we hope, these little particles will work without complaint to keep you alive. Why they go to this trouble is a bit of a mystery, because being you is not an atomically satisfying experience. You might think you have their devoted attention, but your atoms don't actually care about you. They don't even know you're there. They don't even know they are there. They themselves aren't even alive. Yet, they will answer in one way or another to a single impulse for the period of your existence, and that is to keep you, you. Now, not only were you lucky enough to have these atoms working in your favor and working together, but you are extremely lucky to have come here through generations and generations. Look at that for a moment with me. Years and years and years ago, there were two people who got together, two people who thought, well, this one's quite attractive enough to choose them, healthy enough to reproduce, and blessed enough to keep their children alive. None of your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmothers or grandfathers were ever so challenged that the bloodline stops. This pattern of life repeated to the moment where your parents welcomed you into this world. What are the odds? Look for a moment at the mystery of your inner being, of your spiritual longings. Why are you here today? Why did you decide to take part in this? You are here because somewhere deep inside you, you have a longing for God. That's why you're here. There's something in you that longs for what you cannot see. And your spiritual longing reminds you that you are more than just your body and your brain. You are an eternal spiritual being. And you have a deep longing for a deep connection with the living God. He puts that longing in you. That's why you're here. Look at the history of the church of which you are part of today. And how the church came into being. How is it possible? How do you explain that one day there's a group of disciples overwhelmed, disillusioned, broken, disappointed, hopeless? And a few days later, these men and women are on fire about Jesus and his resurrection. And each of them become martyrs for their faith. What is that all about? What caused this? What is the hypothesis that can help us understand this transformation? That they would give themselves to a cause until death? How is it possible that the church remains standing through pandemics, attacks, persecutions through the ages to this very day? That is the wonder of life and existence itself. Jesus stands in our midst and says, look and see. If you are struggling with doubt today, look. The third invitation is that Jesus invites us to respond to this. Look again at his words. He says, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Jesus in that moment also sends them. He knows that there comes a moment in our doubt where we must take a first step of faith, where we have to do something. We have to take a risk to trust. Because if we stay where we are, if our doubts determine our life, it will paralyze us and we'll go nowhere. If the disciples remained in that doubtful state, where would the church be today? Someone once said, security is an idol of our age that we must get rid of. And it's interesting because we all want certainty in life and security. But have you noticed that we make our biggest decisions in life not based on certainty or security? Think about marriage. Everyone's afraid of it, but everybody wants it. I'm not sure if this person is going to stay with me or if I'm going to stay with them, if I'll be able to keep this promise that I'm making today. But somewhere I take this risk and I trust to start a business. You don't have certainty that it's going to work out, but you take that step to start. You have hope, you have zeal, you have courage, you've collected some facts, but the risk remains there. You start studying. You enroll for a degree, but you're not sure if you're going to make a success of it or if you're going to do what you're studying now in 10 years' time. But you take the risk to trust. You respond. You do something. And in the same way, Jesus comes to us and he invites us to take that step of faith towards him. Can you take that step today? Can you say, Lord, I'm not sure how things will be working out, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to give myself to you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to take your words and your teaching seriously. I want to interact with you every day. And I'm going to believe that you are with me. I'm going to listen to your word and I'm going to trust you with my entire life. There's a story of a man who was part of a circus act. He was part of the trapeze artists who fly through the air. And in an interview, he shares about the importance of the role of the flyer and of the catcher. And he says, I'm the one who flies. And I have to trust the catcher completely. And you and the public might think that I'm the star of the show, but the real star of the show is the catcher. He has to be there in a split second for me to catch me as I fly through that air. And it works like this. The secret is that the one flying does nothing and the catcher does everything. When I fly, I just have to stretch out my arms and hands and wait for that catcher to catch me and pull me safely to the podium. The worst thing the flyer can do is to try and grab the catcher. I'm not supposed to try and catch him. Because if I grab him, I can break his wrists or he can break mine. And it will be the end of us both. The one that flies must fly and the one that catches must catch. The flyer must take the risk to trust that the catcher will be there for him. Can you stretch out your arms and your hands and trust that God, the catcher, will catch you today? I want to close with the last words of Matthew's gospel. Those last two or three sentences, it says that the 11 disciples went to Galilee into the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. They worshipped while they doubted. They prayed while they worried. They trusted while they questioned. And in spite of this, in spite of their doubts, God uses this group to change the course of history and the world. And God is using you and I to spite our doubts today as well. Can you surrender to that? Can you trust and take that risk to believe that today? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you are steadfast, that you will never, ever, ever let us go or forsake us, that you are always there waiting to catch us. But we ask that you will help us to have courage to move through that door that doubt opens that might be to the place of a deeper faith. And Lord, with you, it is always towards a deeper faith. Will you come, Holy Spirit, and give us through your power that strength to do that, to face our fears and doubts, to admit them, to look at them, but also to look away from them and see the wonder of the gifts of grace and life that you give. You are the risen Christ, and we worship you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining again today. If you have a pastoral need and you want someone to pray with you or you want to speak to someone, please contact us. You're welcome to send an email or phone our pastoral care line, and we have a team waiting to pray with you, be with you, minister to you. Receive the blessing of God. The love of God our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the peace of his Holy Spirit remain with us all evermore. Amen.